So we have some prayer requests that I didn't mention this morning. Glenda and David's grandson, Colt, has COVID. And so they're not here tonight because they've been exposed and they just felt like they were with him all week last week. So we need to keep Colt and the family in our prayers. And then Krista told me that her cousin, right? Trisha Carpenter, she's asked that we keep her in our prayers. She's battling ovarian cancer and is in the hospital in Oklahoma City, we think, and just under palliative care. So, and she's young, like Krista, in her 20s. You know, but anyway, she's younger, about Krista's age, and so that's a lot. And certainly keep Gail Stewart in your prayers, and you know, she is going to have reconstructive knee surgery, and the older you get, the more dangerous those surgeries are. You know, I did a funeral for my ex-father-in-law who broke a hip and passed away in surgery. So he was 93. So keep those individuals in your prayers. As I mentioned a couple of Sunday evenings ago, I am not a scientist. But you don't have to be a scientist to understand that Darwin's theory of evolution is just wrong. In the last lesson, a couple of Sunday nights ago, I addressed the 6 points of the scientific method that a scientist would use to prove that evolution is a scientific fact. Listen carefully. Evolution fails miserably, not on one or two, but all 6 points of the scientific method. First of all, there's no experiment to duplicate the beginning or origin of the universe. If you're using the scientific method, that's what you would do. By the way, there's 15 other explanations, probably more than that, that have been seriously entertained by the science community. Secondly, there's no experiment to duplicate the origin of life. And certainly no one can conceive how life came from dead matter. The origin of life could not have begun with something dead unless God did it. Thirdly, the fossil record deeply distressed Darwin because he could not account for those missing links, you know, when animals were evolving. If evolution is true, the fossil record would be powerful, irrefutable evidence. It's not. In fact, the fossil record is powerful evidence that God created everything, every living thing, according to its kind, just as the Bible tells us. And then fourthly, a scientist proving evolution would point to the examples of evolution taking place today. And have you ever heard the thing? If we evolved from monkeys, why do we still have monkeys? We're not, when we talk about examples of evolution taking place today, we're not talking about adaptations to environment. We're talking about the changing of kinds, which has not happened. And then fifthly, evolution has not and cannot be reproduced in a lab. To prove something scientifically, that would have to be done. And last of all, no scientists dare predict what new species are on the horizon because of continued evolution, which again would be required to prove something by the scientific method. Now again, I'm not a scientist. And if my science teacher was here tonight, he or she could testify to that. But we're talking about a theory that is taught to children and adults as though it is a scientific fact. Now, some try to interject God into evolution by explaining that God has been performing continuous creation through millions and millions of years. By the way, that clearly contradicts the Bible. The Bible clearly says that God created a few fully grown human man within one day. The sun went up, the sun went down. One day. The Bible teaches that from the beginning there was male and female with the capability of reproduction. They were not, they did not have their beginning as a genderless single-cell living organism. The Bible teaches that the first man and first woman were able to think. They were able to make choices, talk, communicate, make decisions. In other words, it was not a gradual evolving of mental capabilities over thousands and thousands, maybe millions of years. The Bible also teaches that Adam was made in the image of God. In fact, they were both created in the image of God, while evolution affirms that man is evolving to be like a God. Well, on and on we could go, but our real objective is to focus on what impact the teaching of evolution has had on our culture. In our last lesson, we learned that ideas and concepts have consequences. Who would have thought such a thing be true? What you think, your ideas, your concepts you hold to be true have consequences in how and what you think and in your behavior. And accepting that God does not exist, that Genesis chapters 1 through 3 are just a fairy tale, that will definitely change your behavior. A godless, corrupt culture always grows more and more and more corrupt. What you believe about your origin will absolutely have an impact on what you also think of yourself. What's the consequence of believing that you were created in the image of God? Well, it means that you put a high value on your life and on every other human life, since we were all created in God's image. You're not simply animal life. You're all uniquely created in God's image. But think about this. If you reject that, you are now free to live by the rule of the jungle without an ounce of guilt. Another human's life is not any more important than the life of your dog or your cat. There's a couple call me today. My phone number's on the back door back here, and they wanted some food. You know, food boxes from the tornado. And this girl had actually, I'd helped her before, and so she brought someone else that was needing help, and then they were also took food to someone else that needed help. And he had his dog with him. And he asked me before, right before they left, he said, "Well, tell me this, preacher, do all dogs go to heaven?" I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to. Well, I don't know why not. Yeah, we know why not. Because they weren't created in the image of God. We were created in the image of God and given dominion over all beings not created in the image of God. But if you reject those basic truths, everything changes. But if you accept them, everything changes. If you reject that God created us in His image, then all living things are as important as a human. And so you must love the world and all that is in it, because that's all there is. Again, ideas have consequences. So what difference does this godly theory make in our communities and country? Well, it's changed our schools. Most schools and colleges and universities and even many religiously oriented schools of higher education, they teach the theory of evolution to explain our origin. But think about this. From the time our kids are small, if they're watching nature programs on TV, they are being exposed to the theory of evolution. And in many schools, that's taught by atheists. Not as a theory, but as if it's a scientific fact. I don't know about in Oklahoma. And that's the problem, isn't it? Now, we've got education people here. And y'all were in education. And does a principal know every single thing a teacher is teaching? Maybe in some schools, maybe they do, but that would be difficult. And so beginning in nursery schools and kindergartens, children are exposed to this theory in subtle ways. Elementary and high schools continue that indoctrination, sometimes in subtle ways. But if you watch the National Geographic program, it's not subtle. East Central University has been known statewide for certain professors in the past, maybe present. It's been a while since I've lived in Ada, but those professors ridiculed students who profess to believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God. When I was at Southwest, we had a huge college group. And many of them shared with me, as well as others, that there was one East Central University professor who would bully and intimidate freshman students. And he would shame them for their faith. Well, he went to the same barbershop I did there on Main Street of Ada. And this barber, who was a member of the church, told me that this man would come in and he just wouldn't shut up. And he would just infuriate everyone in his shop, including him, as he constantly preached atheism. And finally, the barber told me, he said, I told him, look, don't come back. You're not welcome here. By the way, that professor died a number of years ago, and he's now a believer. He's a believer. Now, in preparation for this sermon, I read the history of creationism and Darwinism in America. Didn't read everything, but I read some of that. It all began in the late 1800s, and it's been a constant battle in our courts since. Then I read a very interesting article on a website, and it was dated in May of 2019 by David Badosh. Now, I want you to understand, this website is very opposed to Christianity. And you'll see this in what I'm about to read. He wrote, in 1963, I was in the second grade. No, third grade. I always had trouble with math. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled 8-1 that teaching the Bible in public schools was unconstitutional. 1963. And Badosh writes, 56 years later, right-wing religious extremists, that'd be us, are still trying to find ways to get the Bible taught in public schools, and now they're succeeding. According to the civil rights organization Americans United, there is a coordinated attempt by the religious right to enshrine Christian nationalism in our schools, in our communities, and in our government, and teaching the Bible is a part of that attempt. And then he writes this, and part of that attempt, also part of that attempt, President Donald Trump. And so those opposing the Bible, even the mentioning of the Bible being a foundational, important fact in our country's history, they are opposed to even that being taught. This week I read an article in an online publication, OklahomaVoice.com, reporting on what's happening in Oklahoma. It's dated June 27th of this year. Oklahoma's top educational official on Thursday ordered all public schools in the state to incorporate the Bible into their curriculum. Now this is important. As a historical text. State Superintendent Walters, who by the way is a member of the church, you might not know that, went to Harding. He said he wants the Bible kept and taught in every Oklahoma classroom, particularly how it is referenced in America's history and founding documents. We're going to be looking at the Mayflower Compact and other of those foundational documents to point to and say, listen, here's conceptually what the founders believed. Walter said while speaking with news reporters on Thursday, state academic standards for social studies already require schools to teach students about the impact of religion on U.S. society and government. The academic standards are a lengthy list of topics Oklahoma public schools must teach. Local school districts are allowed the freedom to decide their own curriculum and how they teach the standards. Is that true? Yeah. Of course, this is being contested by some religious groups, namely Muslims, and some politicians. Now, we all likely share the same concerns about who's going to be teaching the Bible's role in our history of our country, and secondly, what is going to be taught. But the last thing an evolutionist wants is the Bible to be mentioned as authoritative or as legitimate. In my research, this was a nationwide news story of what our school superintendent did. And I found that many of those stories in our major news networks in the United States was filled with inaccuracies. For instance, on July 26th, the Washington Post ran this headline, Every teacher in Oklahoma must teach the Bible. That's not true. Although the Bible will not be taught by every teacher, many don't even want the Bible mentioned, even in particularly how it is referenced to America's history and founding documents. This is a Christian-based country. Godless evolutionist teachings have changed our schools, but it's good to see that we have godly people like y'all in our schools. And many are pushing back. I don't want to pretend to be aware of all the issues connected with all of this. And I know I don't understand all the ins and outs of this, but isn't it interesting that the Bible, we gave $1,819 this morning for Bibles for people in Eastern Europe. In Eastern Europe, Bibles are taught in the schools in many of those countries, but not in America. In fact, through this Eastern European missions, they got some open doors and they went and provided Bible literature and Bibles and training for the teachers in Russia to teach the children Bible in Russia. Amazing. But in America, not so much. Now, of course, scientists and unbelievers are not the only ones in our society who are enamored with Darwin's theory. Liberal theologians have swallowed forms of evolution theory hook, line, and sinker. Modernistic theologians seem reluctant to sacrifice all ideas of God, but they have rejected the biblical creation account as being inaccurate. In other words, they don't believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. They don't believe that. They want some kind of God, but not the one described in Genesis chapter 1. Which raises all kinds of questions, right? If that's true, how do you explain John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5? In the beginning was the Word. Now we know that was Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In verse 14, he's going to go on and say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. How do you explain that? Amazingly, these liberal theologians are attempting to explain why parts of the Bible, like that passage, is a lie. When the ACLU challenged the Arkansas law permitting the biblical account of creation to receive equal time with Darwin's evolution theory in the classrooms, some of these liberal theologians were exposed. 12 of the 17 plaintiffs in Arkansas were theologians in that lawsuit. Presbyterians, Disciples of Christ, Methodists, Roman Catholic, Jewish, were all a part of that lawsuit, not wanting the Bible to receive equal time with the theory of evolution. Why would they do that? Why would they be a part of that lawsuit? They strongly opposed Christianity being linked to the biblical account of creation. They clearly express that teaching the biblical account along with evolution, or beside, or in contrast to evolution, would be disastrous to the future of science. No, the theory of evolution is disastrous to the future of science. They believe that teaching the biblical account would be a catastrophe for academic freedom. And yet the Bible claims to be God-breathed. Paul, by inspiration, wrote to Timothy in his last letter, 2 Timothy 3:16. And he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, all Scripture is God-breathed. And if not all the Bible is God-breathed, how can we trust any of it? If some of it's a lie, how do we know what's a lie and what's truth? It's either all God-breathed or none of it worthy of our trust. Now, think about the implications of accepting evolution. If survival of the fittest applies in biological realms, why would it not apply to all other areas of life? If all we are can be described biologically, let's judge what's right or wrong with only this in mind. How does it make sense biologically, in other words? Everything is tested with that. How does it make sense biologically? For instance, if we're just animals living by the law of the jungle, then let's get rid of the weak and the diseased. That makes sense biologically. And so we'll eliminate the unfit, the grotesque, the unproductive. Actually, the adherents of the New Age movement insist on this. Why? Because we will be speeding up evolution and accelerating the arrival of the superior race. Does that sound familiar? Study Hitler. That's what he was trying to do. And from the perspective of just evolution, why shouldn't we do this? If God does not exist and men are the result of blind chance, why would anyone sacrifice for the sick or the disabled or the elderly? In the animal kingdom, there are very few sacrifices for the elderly. Now, a pack of wolves will take care of the elderly. But in most instances, no. In fact, there are very few sacrifices in the animal world for the good of others, especially other kinds. Sometimes the runt of the litter is devoured by the mother. Why not? If we're just biological beings, if we are only animals, what moral obligation do we have to help anyone else, especially if it's going to cost time and money? That's where evolution takes us. Think about this. Geneticists and scientists conduct research on animals. A lot of that's been stopped because of the objections of animal activists. And yes, important knowledge is gained through that research. But PETA says animals should not be hurt in any way. But hey, if we're only animals, why use monkeys and rats and dogs? Why not just use humans? In fact, again, that's what the Nazis did. But not just the Nazis. Even our own government at times have used military personnel and prison inmates for research. But how can an evolutionist object to any of that? We're just biological. I know these two lessons only touch the hem of the garment, but when we answer the most basic questions about our origin and we leave out Jehovah God, we've set the stage to remove God from life completely. Embrace up. Because then Our only choice is to live by the law of the jungle. The strong survive and the weak are eradicated. That's the result of leaving God out of the story of where we came from. That's the result of dismissing the early chapters of the book of Genesis and accepting a theory that has been proven to be false over and over and over. Tonight, if you need to come for any reason, please come now while we stand and sing.